have the tasks of the meditation teacher, as I perceive it, is to clear up misconceptions. We may come to the practice with misconceptions. We may have practiced in ways that caused us to develop misconceptions. One of the greatest misconceptions that people tend to have about meditation is that meditation is a practice in which we seek to eliminate thinking, in which we seek not to be thinking. So it's very important to understand that, first of all, you can't eliminate thinking. You can't eliminate thinking. I mean, there's certain concentration practices where you could cut off that part of the mind. It would be very, very severe and austere concentration practices. In general, the mind is going to think. That's the default state of the mind. It's one of the findings of the research that's been done about the mind. The mind will think. So, first of all, it's not going to be in our service to think that what we need to do in meditation is to eliminate thinking, because we will think. The practice of meditation is a practice of abandoning unskillful thinking and cultivating skillful thinking. So there is a certain kind of thinking that we do seek to abandon. That's what we call unskillful thinking. Thinking that arises out of our past karma, that's informed by aversion, desire, and delusion, which, you know, for most of us, I mean, I always like to say, perhaps somewhat facetiously, particularly until we learn to train the mind and cultivate skillful thinking, you know, our thinking is 99.5% unskillful. And I always like to say, if you can change that to 98.5, you'll make tremendous strides. But putting that to the side, our practice is a practice, just like we do in the meditation. Thoughts come up. Maybe they're thoughts of delusion. You're thinking about Labor Day 1986. You know, maybe they're thoughts of aversion. You're thinking about how you don't like the way the body feels. Maybe they're thoughts of desire. You're thinking about what you're going to watch on TV lately. We seek to put those thoughts to the side. And we learn that right from the beginning in meditation. But meditation, we really learn right from the beginning, or we're meant to learn, includes learning to cultivate skillful thinking. First of all, just the movement in the mind that we have to engender to put aside those unskillful thoughts is thinking. That's thinking informed by renunciation, one of the noble forms of thinking. So, a good part of the thinking that we do in meditation is what we call directed thought. We're guiding our attention to the breath. We're guiding our attention to the breath. We're guiding our attention to the breath. And there's other ways that we use the mind in meditation to cultivate concentration. So the cultivation of concentration comes through using the mind in a skillful way. Through concentration, then we can develop discernment. And really, there's not a lot of thinking that we have to do there. A lot of the thinking really goes into the development of concentration, but we use thinking to develop discernment mostly in the service of asking questions and creating a frame through which we can look. And we use thinking to support our efforts to connect to the heart. So, one of the things that we like to talk about is that you use the head to connect to the heart. That's the way to the heart, is by using the head, using your thinking to connect into the heart. So, this thinking may include thinking that's informed by loving kindness, reminding ourselves of our wish to be happy. It may, as I talked about last week, be thinking that's informed by compassion, thinking that seeks to look at our suffering and to cultivate our wish to be free from suffering. And this thinking also includes reflection on joy and the cultivation of the heart quality of joy. So this is one of the ways that we need to learn to use the mind is in the service of cultivating joy. Because it's not our inclination. We have to develop that inclination to the heart and to joy. And we cultivate joy by cultivating gratitude. So the cultivation of gratitude is one of the most important uses of the mind. It's something that we have to learn to do at the beginning of our practice. And of course, the more we use thinking in the service of finding stillness and finding silence, then we can really use the thinking to cultivate gratitude on an even deeper and deeper and deeper level. So this is one of the most important ways that we can use the mind is to cultivate gratitude. This is one of the most important reflections that we learn to make as students of the Dharma. I mean, for myself, I was never really very impressed with the whole notion of gratitude. I never really felt that it was that important. I never put much effort into developing it, even though people in my life had been telling me that I should. Part of the problem, if not the biggest part of the problem, was that I didn't know how. I didn't know what the skill was to develop gratitude. Once I learned the skill for developing gratitude, then I was able to start to cultivate it and could really start to see the benefit of it. So I used to have a cynical slogan that I used to adhere to, which is, there's a thin line between platitude and gratitude. Another one that I might have come up with, but I didn't, would be gratitude schmatitude. So this is one of the most important ways to use the mind. It's in the service of cultivating gratitude. It's one of the most important reflections. One of the greatest, if not the greatest and most important, source of gratitude, because if you want to cultivate gratitude, you have to reflect on things that you're grateful for, blessings. And what the teachings tell us, and certainly what my practice would corroborate, is one of the most important, perhaps the most important source of gratitude is the people in our lives who've helped us. The people in our lives who have taken action out of kindness, out of compassion, in the service of helping us, in the service of helping us find a greater happiness in our lives. So in cultivating gratitude, what we're asked to do is to remember these people, and to remember what they've done for us. So to remember that they've taken actions that have benefited us. And an important part of this reflection is to remind ourselves and to remember that they've taken actions out of kindness towards us, out of loving kindness for us, out of compassion for us, in support of our wish to be happy, in support of our wish to be free from suffering. These people that we are grateful for are people who've benefited us, who've taken action out of kindness in support of our wish to be happy. And one of the real marks of these sources of gratitude is that in doing what they've done to help us, these people have gone out of their way. You know, they've gone out of their way to help us. And we may think, well, there's not so many people like that in my life. And that's the problem. And that's the problem, because there are many people in your life that fill that criteria. Your job is to remember those people and to see clearly into the truth that they've helped you, they've shown kindness towards you, but they've gone out of their way to take action in support of you finding a greater happiness, you finding true happiness. The Buddha's really clear about the greatest sources of gratitude in our lives, and that, of course, is our parents. That, of course, is our parents. So of all the beings in our lives that we are asked to cultivate gratitude for, first and foremost, is our parents. And again, this is a practice. These are skills that we're learning. And for some of us, these skills may take a long time to develop. But what I would submit to you is that this is one of the most essential aspects of the path, and really is one of the most important aspects of the path that we have to attend to if we are going to find greater happiness in our lives. We have to learn to have gratitude for our parents, because they've given us the greatest gift that there is. They've given us the gift of life. They've given us the gift of life. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have this opportunity to live this human life. So, you know, this is the greatest gift that we've been given. This extraordinary gift. Extraordinary gift. You think about your mother carrying you, you know, around in her womb for 9 months. I mean, talk about going out of your way to help somebody. She didn't have to do that. And that's a supreme act of kindness. You know, our parents took care of us when we couldn't take care of ourselves. I mean, these are things that we may know, but do we really think about it? Do we really think about it? Or are we too focused on some of the negative things that our parents might have done? So, I mean, I won't get into the graphic descriptions of how your parents wiped the shit off your asses when you were babies and fed you. You wouldn't be alive if they didn't feed you. I mean, what greater gift is there? They took care of you. I mean, you know, the Buddha's really clear, and he doesn't have a blind eye. I mean, he's very clear that, you know, many of us have had parents that were treated us badly, that acted unskillfully and immorally towards us, that were abusive towards us. We may all have had different kinds of parents. I mean, I certainly had parents that were very difficult, that I had a difficult relationship towards, that caused harm to me in different ways. Many of us may have similar experiences. Our relationship to our parents may be difficult. There may be difficult feelings of anger and resentment. And these are things that we have to work with, of course, not to turn a blind eye to and just say, well, I'm going to cultivate gratitude. Obviously, a lot of the path is in the service of working out that karma. But regardless of whatever our parents may have done, that may not have been skillful, it doesn't discount, the Buddha says, and the teachings say, and from my personal experience, I know this to be true, it doesn't get discount the gift that they gave us. It doesn't discount the kindness that they've showed us. They've given us this extraordinary gift. So, you know, I always like to say there's room for both. There's room for the difficult feelings that you have of anger and resentment, whatever. But there's room for also for gratitude. It's hard. A lot of times things get really jumbled up. And one of the things, of course, that happens once we develop concentration is things separate out, right? So, you know, the anger and the resentment and those things separate out, and the qualities of the heart separate out, and there's room for both. I mean, I talked about this in the class the other night, you know, on a very geographical level in terms of the body. I mean, this is what we're going to be working with over the next few months on Thursday night, you know? There might be anger here and resentment here, and hatred here, and there's love here, and there's gratitude here, and there's appreciation right here in the heart. There's room for all these things. So, we, of course, don't say, don't look at the ways that we may have been harmed, and of course, most importantly, the ways that we've developed different emotional, psychological tendencies. We need to look at these things, but it oftentimes is our proclivity just to focus on the negative. And, or, you know, we may not just not reflect. I mean, we may have had parents that we don't really have negative feelings towards. You know, and this isn't true just for parents. It's true for anybody who, of course, has helped us. But we just, you know, so our some of us may have had relationships or have relationships with our parents that we don't relate to in a negative way with aversion or hatred or resentment, but we may not reflect. We may not reflect on the way that our parents have benefited us. We may not reflect on their kindness. So this is what we're asked to do. To take a step back, to reflect, and to cultivate gratitude. And to cultivate gratitude. And you know, this cultivation of gratitude, beginning with gratitude for our parents, is for us in this practice, the practice of the Dharma, a regular practice. This is something that we're asked to do on a regular basis. I mean, it would be good to do it every day. You could start with, like I always say, you could start with once a week, you know, and then twice a week. The Buddha, if he was here, he'd probably say, I reflect on the blessing of my parents in my life with every in-breath and with every out-breath. But we're not quite there yet, so. But we do need to take time to reflect and to cultivate gratitude and make it a regular practice. And there's others, too. You know, there's others that we've had relationships with in our lives who've helped us, who've exhibited kindness in helping us, who've gone out of our way to help us. Again, I would submit that we've all have people like that, and probably many people like that, but we don't reflect, or we look at people and we only see the negative. So easy to do that. I mean, this is one of the practices that's really interesting because, you know, usually when I reflect on the heart, I'm usually able to kind of stay with the reflection. But when I reflect on gratitude, it's the hardest reflection for me to stay with the reflection, because I'll reflect on, oh, that person benefited me. And then the thought will come in really fast. Oh, no, but they did this, they did that, they didn't, you know. I mean, it can be so strong, those other voices. I think it's the hardest of any of the heart reflections in many ways. for mediators. So there's many beings, teachers, friends, who've helped us, who've supported us. I mean, this is something that we're asked to think about and asked to reflect on. These beings in our lives who've benefited us, who've shown us kindness. And as I said, we tend to think about people who've hurt us, people that we're angry at. And there may be people who've hurt us and that we're angry at that didn't help us, and those tend to be the people that we think about the most, probably. But there's other people, you know, we need to kind of be equal opportunity meditators, you know? Maybe think a little bit less about the people that you don't like or the people on TV that you don't like and all of that. And a little bit more about, because it's not going to be on the TV. It's not going to be on the TV. The TV is only going to tell you who you should dislike and why you should dislike. It's not going to be on the TV. That's why you probably shouldn't watch the TV so much. You know? Because I can't, because it's like, it's not good for my heart. It's not good for my heart. You know, it's like I wouldn't go into the, you know, into the medicine cabinet and eat poison. You know, it's like, there's things that are poison for the heart. But, you know, again, we tend to focus on the people that we're angry towards. We need to shift those scales a little bit and spend a little bit more time thinking about people that have showed us kindness, to remember the people that have shown us kindness, that have helped us. So many people who've helped us and shown us kindness, have gone out of their way. Look at the food that you're eating. Look at the people that have struggled, you know, in order to be able to, for you to be able to have that food on your table. Many, many, many beings. People who, you know, engaged in hard labor. Probably a lot of our parents did too. In jobs that they may not have liked, for us. As I've kind of alluded to in this talk, my own, like, as it should be for all of us, with all of the skills that we're developing, my own relationship to gratitude has deepened, and I've learned over the years more and more to cultivate gratitude and the importance of that. And over the past year, I had a real very strong movement of opening up to gratitude after my mother died. It's a little over a year now. It came up so strongly, you know, and it was like almost shocking. It probably was shocking how when she died, you know, what came up so strongly was the remembrance of the ways that she helped me. The remembrance of her goodness, the remembrance of her extraordinary kindness that she showed me, the way that she supported me and helped me in my efforts to find happiness in my life. That's what I remember. Because that's what we leave behind, right? We leave behind our goodness. And that's the gift that we have, the gifts we leave behind. Of course, my mother gave birth to me. She took care of me. She spent a lot of time with me and taught me. She was an inspiration to me. So much, so many things that I talked about over the last year. I mean, my mother worked full time and had 5 children. She was the breadwinner in our family. She did that so that I could eat, so that I had a roof over my head. Of course, the voice in the mind is going, yeah, but that wasn't much of a roof and the food wasn't that good, you know? Could you imagine 5 children working full time? And in my day, our day, I was the only friend, only of all my friends, I was the only one, and you know, everybody's story is different, but that whose mother worked. You know, sort of in my day in the suburbs of Long Island, you know, the mothers didn't work. They were housewives, which is a job too, of course. Which is a job too. So, you know, what I remembered and what I strive to remember in the service of cultivating gratitude is what she left behind. The gift of kindness. The gift of kindness, the demonstration of her kindness. Extraordinary demonstration of her kindness. Ajahn Fuong used to say about Ajahn Lee, his teacher, that he showed me the brightness of the world. And that always struck Tanjef because he went to Thailand because, you know, he had the sort of the misconceptions that a lot of people had about Buddhism, that it was all about suffering. And then Ajahn Lee was telling him, Ajahn Fuong was telling him that Ajahn Lee showed me the brightness of the world. That's what my mother showed me. She showed me the brightness of the world through the demonstration of her kindness and the way that she took care of me, helped me. What a gift to give us that gift. These people that gave us this gift of kindness and showed us a world in which there is kindness and compassion and generosity. Because it tends not to be the world that we think about, right? When we think about the world. And when we think about the world, we tend to think about the things in the world that we don't like, or the things in the world that we want that we don't have. We tend to think about the world with a lot of fear. We tend to think about the world as a very threatening place. Of course, we need to see these things and the drawbacks of the world. We need to cultivate compassion. And we need to cultivate a higher and a greater way of being in the world. In the way that we see depicted on the television. We need to cultivate gratitude and appreciation for this world. We need to cultivate an understanding of the brightness of the world. And we do that largely by reflecting on gratitude, by reflecting on these people that have showed us kindness, by reflecting not on all of these things in the world that aren't so good, but reflecting on the extraordinary kindness in the world and in the human heart that we've seen demonstrated by these people in our lives. It's not an idea. You know, we've experienced this extraordinary potential of the human heart in the way these people have loved us and cared for us. We've been shown the brightness of the world, the goodness of the world, the beauty of the world, the possibility for happiness. And we can take joy. We can take joy. And this is why we practice the Dharma, right? You know, this is why joy is the proximate cause of concentration, meditation. It's out of this joy, this appreciation for the possibility for happiness and the beauty of the world and the brightness of the world, that we do this thing that's so difficult. And we practice this meditation. We move forward in our practice out of joy. And we move forward in life out of joy, with gratitude, understanding the goodness of life, having been given these gifts. And having been given these gifts, having been given the gift of kindness, you know, we want to put them to good use. I mean, the term that's sometimes used is we want to repay the people that have given us these gifts of kindness. The Buddha is really clear about how we do that. We do that by developing our goodness. We do that by developing our goodness. So having been given these gifts, we develop our goodness. We strive to live a wholehearted life, a joyful life. We strive to know true happiness. We embrace life and find the happiness of life and know the brightness of the world.